This podcast is recorded in 2022. Emergency contraception is an incredibly important part of women's healthcare. Today, we're going to look at the options available to you, the differences between them, and what you should be aware of when you prescribe them. Welcome to Plabable, Pods for Docs. My name is Sophia, and in today's podcast, we will be covering the topic of emergency contraception. For visual aids on today's topic, head over to our website at plabable.com for high-yield revision notes and a question bank. Today, we are very fortunate to be joined by one of our Plabable owners, Ching, who is a pharmacist. We're going to just start off by briefly introducing the main emergency contraceptives that we have available in the UK. So emergency contraceptive is a separate topic to contraceptives as a whole, because these are only to be used after isolated episodes of unprotected sexual intercourse. And you can shorten the phrase unprotected sexual intercourse to UPSI, which is quite nice, actually. But this is a contraceptive that isn't used regularly, or it shouldn't be used regularly. And there are three main ones that you should know about that we're going to cover today. And these include the IUD, so the intrauterine device, olopristol acetate, which is an oral tablet, and levonorgestrel, which is another oral tablet as well. So Ching, let's get started with the IUD. Can you tell us about when an IUD can be fitted after UPSI, and how effective it is?
Yeah, so the IUD, or coil, is a non-hormonal device that can be fitted into a woman for up to 5 days from when the time unprotected sexual intercourse has taken place. The copper IUD basically releases copper into the womb, which has a toxic effect on sperm, and it also alters the cervical mucus, making it difficult for the sperm to be fertilized. If somehow fertilization did occur, then the endometrial inflammation from the copper device prevents implantation. So when fitted incorrectly, it is very, very effective in preventing pregnancy. Definitely more effective than the oral contraceptive tablet. Because it is non-hormonal, it's not affected by medications, which are liver enzyme inducers. We'll speak more about that later. And it is also worth mentioning that once the IUD is inserted, it can remain inside the woman if she wishes to, because it can act as a long-acting reversible contraceptive as well.
Okay, brilliant. So from that, the message we can take from that is that IUDs are a pretty good coverall for both emergency contraception in that moment, but they can also be used as a long-term contraceptive, you know, going forward for that individual. It sounds really great, but there are some things obviously to bear in mind with the IUD. Now, the first thing is obviously patient choice. Not everyone is that keen on an IUD, even after kind of counseling on how effective they are. So that's a definite factor to take into consideration. And also nowadays, it's actually logistically quite difficult to get them fitted. There's not enough people currently really trained to get it, you know, to fit it. And so finding a slot to get an IUD in an emergency setting can be challenging. And there's not very much clinic availability either. There are some things to bear in mind as well with IUDs as to who it may or may not be suitable for. So in individuals who've got a distorted uterus for any reason, these are sometimes not really appropriate because it can raise the risk of expulsion. And obviously the insertion comes with a host of risks, which patients are counseled on when they go to get them fitted. So these include things like infection, bleeding, expulsion, and also the likelihood of an ectopic pregnancy if they were to get pregnant. So it's really important that before an IUD is fitted, that you check that the patient isn't actually already pregnant, because it can be very dangerous if you pop in an IUD when an egg has actually been able to be fertilized and implanted. And the other thing also to consider is to screen for sexually transmitted diseases, because you might need to give some prophylactic antibiotic cover when you're fitting these IUDs. So Ching, we've covered IUDs. It's our main kind of physical device, which we use as emergency contraception. Let's move on to the more kind of commonly used oral solutions. Can you start us off with olopristol acetate and talk to us about how it works?
Yes, absolutely. So iloprostol acetate, or commonly known by its brand ELA-1, it's an oral tablet, 30 milligram, that you take as a single dose. You can take this, similar to the copper IUD, up to 5 days after you've had unprotected sexual intercourse. The way iloprostol acetate works, it's basically a hormonal tablet. It's a selective progesterone receptor modulator, which helps to prevent or delay ovulation.
So yeah, they're just different approaches, but the time frame is still the same. You've still got up to 5 days where this can be effective.
Exactly.
So who would ELA-1 maybe not be suitable for? Is there anything that we need to consider with this kind of drug?
Yeah, quite a few actually. So there are a few groups of people in whom ELA-1 might not be suitable for. So these include people who are taking or have taken in the last month medications which are called liver enzyme inducers. So this sort of medication basically induces or increases the activity of certain liver enzymes, resulting in an increased metabolism and excretion of iloprostol acetate, ELA-1, out of the body before it even has a chance to have an effect. So we do need to be careful with this sort of drug interactions before prescribing ELA-1. ELA-1 is also not suitable for severe asthmatics who are on oral steroids to control their asthma, because ELA-1 has an anti-glucocorticoid effect that may stop these steroids from working and potentially causing an asthma attack, which we do not want. It's also not suitable for women who are breastfeeding, because some of the medication does get excreted into breast milk. The effect it has on a baby hasn't quite been studied extensively, so if there are no other options for emergency contraceptive and ELA-1 is the most suitable option, then we would advise for the breast milk to be discarded for about a week after taking ELA-1. Those are sort of the main groups of people you want to keep in mind when deciding whether or not to prescribe ELA-1. Other things to consider is to note that it's not quite effective if taken after ovulation. Because of the way it works, it prevents or sort of delays ovulation. It also doesn't protect against sexually transmitted infections and does not provide ongoing contraception. So this is important to let the women know that it is a single dose for single use protection rather than a continuous one like the IUD once it's fitted in. If a woman does vomit for any reason within 3 hours of taking ELA-1, she should take another dose as it is likely not absorbed properly for it to work.
Okay, so let's move on to our final method of emergency contraception, which is, it's a word I can never say properly, the levonorgestrel pill, but also known as Levonel. So Ching, take us through this medication and how it works and how we use it.
Yeah, of course. So it's basically the same method, if you like. It's a single tablet. It's 1.5 milligram and it's taken as a single dose as an emergency contraception. It's basically a synthetic or man-made version of our natural hormone progesterone, and it works by preventing ovulation. And it can be taken up to 72 hours or 3 days after unprotected sexual intercourse. So less than the iloprostol acetate, which is 5 days. With levonorgestrel, the efficacy of it preventing unwanted pregnancy is reduced the later you take it. So the earlier the woman presents after unprotected sexual intercourse, the better efficacy it has in preventing pregnancy.
And is there anything kind of to note about levonorgestrel? Is there other things to bear in mind when prescribing it?
Yes. So as it is also a hormonal method, it shares a few similar points with ELA-1 that we mentioned earlier. So there is still the element of medication interaction with medications that are liver enzyme inducers. So we do need to check that before we prescribe. With Levonel, it's important to note that the effectiveness of it is reduced in women with a high body weight, so over 70 kilograms, and if their BMI is more than 26. So in cases like this, we would recommend taking ELA-1 instead, or prescribing a double dose of Levonel, so taking 2 tablets instead of 1, but this is, of course, unlicensed. In terms of side effect profile, it's pretty much similar as LR1. So vomiting is a common side effect to note. And if a woman vomits within 3 hours of taking the dose, they need to take another dose to be protected from unwanted pregnancy. Menstrual irregularities are also common, so we should advise the woman to have a pregnancy test if her next period is more than 7 days late or if her bleeding is lighter than usual.
Okay, brilliant. So we've kind of covered the three main methods and when they can be used, things to be aware of. Typically in exam questions, they'll give you a scenario and you basically need to think to yourself which one of these emergency contraceptives is most suitable to the individual in the vignette. So let's go through a scenario just to practice this. So let's consider a 26-year-old woman. She attends her local pharmacist. She had unprotected sexual intercourse 3 days ago while on holiday. She's not on any regular contraception and her last period finished about 5 days ago. She feels fit and well in herself, but obviously she's quite concerned and she wants to know what her options are. So what kind of information, Ching, do you want from this woman prior to kind of helping her make a decision?
Right. Okay. So things I would want to know to ask her is exactly when did the unprotected sexual intercourse happen? When was her last menstrual period? Does she have any previous pregnancies or her obstetric history? I would like to know her weight in order to calculate her BMI, which is a body mass index. Any sexually transmitted infections we should know about and to screen for sexually transmitted infections. Any previous contraceptives she's had, tried, any allergies that she may have, past medical histories, and what other medications that she's currently taking.
So let's assume that we've asked her some of these questions so we can build a bit more of a picture here. So for the sake of this podcast, let's say the unprotected sexual intercourse occurred exactly 72 hours ago from when she's speaking to you now. Her last period, as I said before, ended about 5 days ago. So it is likely that she hasn't ovulated yet on this cycle. That's assuming, of course, that she has a regular menstrual cycle. She hasn't had any previous pregnancies. There's no significant gynae history of note. She's had an STI screen, one of those home postal ones, and it's currently clear. And the only thing I know actually is that her BMI is 31, which would make her obese in the BMI. So that's something to bear in mind. She's taken a combined contraceptive pill before, but she stopped a couple of years ago. She didn't have any problems with it. Doesn't take any regular medications. She's only got some vitamin D. She's not allergic to anything. So given all that information, Ching, what do you think her options could be? What would you say to this lady?
Right. So remember, we have three options on the table for emergency contraceptives. I like to work with the option of elimination to decide the most suitable one for her. So as we're at the end of the 3 days limit, the 72 hours for levonorgestrel or Levonel, if you like, and bearing in mind that its efficacy drops the later we give it, plus also with her high BMI, i.e. above 26, her BMI is 31, this further reduces the efficacy, so Levonel is off the table. That leaves us with two other options, so the copper IUD and LR1. So the copper IUD, we mentioned that this is highly effective, and given that she has no significant past medical history or contraindications with this, this would be my first choice. However, it is down to patient choice because, as you mentioned earlier, Sophia, it does involve fitting a coil which may not be acceptable to some women because it can be painful or uncomfortable. And we do need to get a trained professional who is available to do this fairly soon, given that it works best within 5 days of unprotected sexual intercourse. Now, with LR1, the ulipristal acetate, so let's explore this option. It can be taken up to 5 days from unprotected sexual intercourse, which in this case is within range. She's not an asthmatic on oral steroids. She's not on any medications that could interact with LR1. And she has not used any progestogen preparations. As we mentioned earlier, this can also affect its efficacy. She does, however, have a high BMI of 31. And there are some studies, though not conclusive, to say that uliprostal acetate may be less effective in women with a BMI over 30. So it's not a definite no, and I would say it is very much still on the table as an option.
It's tricky, I guess, to decide between the two. It is down to patient choice. But going back to guidelines, to the Faculty of Sexual and Reproductive Health, their advice in cases like this, when a woman has a BMI of over 26, then the first line should be the copper IUD. If this is not suitable or not acceptable, then we should offer the uliprostal acetate, LR1, as second line. And if neither of these are suitable, then we can give a double dose of Levonel, so two tablets instead of one, but this is an unlicensed indication.
Okay, so that's a really good way of working through a scenario where sometimes it's not really an exact clear-cut answer. Sometimes it is a question of just thinking about what's first line, what's second line, what would be the preferred option? Because I think, you know, a lot of exam questions are often phrased in such a way, so it's quite useful to get used to that thought process. And so following that, you know, you've cancelled someone on their decision and they've picked what they're going forward with. And specifically with in relation to the oral emergency contraceptives, what do you say, Ching, to safety net people that you give this oral emergency contraceptive to?
So the first one is if they vomit within 2 to 3 hours of taking the oral hormonal emergency contraceptive pill, so either the Levonel or LR1, they should come back to the pharmacy and request for a second dose. I would also mention some of the common side effects to expect and what to do should they occur. And if the menstrual period is shorter or lighter in the next 3 weeks, or if her menstrual period is delayed, then to do a pregnancy test. And lastly, is to counsel her on ongoing contraception.
Okay, amazing. So we've worked through that quite systematically. Ching, have you got any take-home messages for our listeners from today?
Yes, of course. So remember that there are three types of emergency contraceptives currently available in the UK. The copper IUD is the most effective method of emergency contraception and should be offered to all women provided the criteria for insertion are met and the method is acceptable to the woman. If the copper IUD is not suitable or not accepted, then we can consider oral emergency contraceptives. The choice of which one to prescribe, be it Levonel or LR1, will depend on the answers to the questions. Remember, the contraceptive for one person may not be the same for the other. So the questions we would ask, just to recap, would be the time since unprotected sexual intercourse happened, any current medications that may interact with the oral contraceptives, whether the woman is postpartum or breastfeeding at the moment, the woman's weight and body mass index, and any contraindications to the contraceptives.
Okay, so I think that's it for today. Thank you so much to Ching for joining us. You can find relevant questions to test your emergency contraceptive knowledge on our website at blabberball.com. And to give them a go, if you search using these question codes, which is PH2910, and then also PH0560. That'll take you directly to questions which are relevant to the topic we've discussed, and you can test your knowledge and see if this has been useful. So thanks for listening. And again, to test your application of today's knowledge, head over to our website. We've got this extensive question bank, and we've also got loads of revision notes for you to look at. So see you next time. Bye.